Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley, and I'm so jazzed for this conversation today. Starting out, credit where credit's due, my buddy Mike Kirshner, who's been on the podcast. As most people know me well, golf is my passion, and one of the rounds at Kirshner's golf league, I got paired up with Mr. Brent Wall, and it was such the kindling to this podcast today of a guy that has traveled doing all types of cool construction projects and really forward thinking, and we're going to learn about his story and how we're going to talk about today about getting the right kit of parts of blending on-site and off-site construction, which has been this big quest. And the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that the items that are critical to system-built construction are so much more than just the cherry on top, the building that comes on top of everything. It's crazy. The longer I play this great game in business, I think of our executive director, Matt McMullen, who we've in the ecosystem where we've done several full modular projects, and it's always that shaky ground of getting the house or the boxes to perfectly sit on that foundation and get all the subs to come together. And so how this benefits you is that we really need, we're talking about this ecosystem all the time and getting the right forward-thinking people to change the way it's always been done. And that's really hard because meeting the businesses, the municipalities, and the people where they are, it's hard to move this ecosystem because the system built foundations matching up with all the right structures. How do you still continue to make money on this? And at the end of the day, it's all about managing the two things we don't have enough of, and that's time and money. And the conversations of our pre-interviews is really about speed to potential savings. And that sounds good, but then where the rubber meets the road is that how do you properly bid it and change the status quo? And that's what Brent and I have been talking about. When you say foundations in a day, what does that really mean? What it really means is getting the right kit of parts and fast-tracking the on-site construction to blend with the proper design and get a quote-unquote color code that everybody understands to guide them in there. So my perspective is that, in my opinion, we've never been at such a great juncture for system-built construction to be led through the digital immigrants like me who have lived it. I'm a 46-year-old that have now spent the 25 years of when I think back at the beginning of this thing, and it was like the most amazing thing when you went from Atari to Nintendo of seeing the digital transformation of video games to then the computational power while we go on the construction site and we build it, then the people come and say that's not wrong, and we take it down and do it again. And that's this way of we're really trying to move of really executing from the digital model to the physical model. And we're there, Tribe. And so this changing the status quo is hard, but I'm super excited to be leading these conversations with a guy who's lived it through me. It's been so fun on our pre-interviews. We go left and right in a good way. But what I'm going to challenge myself moving forward, that Brent has done a wonderful job of saying, let's take the high road, because there's so much ways to talk about how construction is demoralizing and they don't want to change. But that's not what we're going to be talking about with the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. The time is now. Let's go. Brent, what's your favorite beverage?
Root beer, and occasionally hold the root.
Root beer. All right. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Last month was lucky enough to spend about 16 days in Japan, a perfect mix of some cultural explorations, seeing the big cities, eating the great food, and then about a week to a week and a half of just that incredible Japao. So deep powder skiing. That's certainly a passion of mine. It was good food and good skiing. Couldn't ask for much more.
So you got the Japao. I didn't know what that meant when you're there. As a guy in Colorado with you here, loving biking and skiing, what was it like? Was it what you expected?
It was, and that much more. It's pretty wild to see a snowstorm come in every afternoon and then wake up to 2 feet of fresh snow every morning. It was a leg burner for sure, but it was incredible. And then the culture with everything else that we did around it and just seeing how Japan functions, it's incredibly impressive. They know how to run cities. They know how to do transportation. They know how to do construction projects. I was just as excited about the skiing and the powder as I was seeing how their big cities operate. It was impressive.
Well, I love it. As we're going to unpack on this disruptive, positive conversation, there's a lot you could unpack there about maybe Vail Resorts lessons learned they could learn from over there in business and vice versa, right? Yeah. What is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos? We're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction.
Sure. Big mountain biker. Love cycling. We got a great team here at Peaks Precast, and we're all into bikes, so that's our time spent outside the office. I feel like I made this joke. I moved to Colorado several years ago for the skiing, but I'm going to hang out for the biking, especially living in the Arkansas Valley and our facility in Buena Vista. And I live in Salida with my wife. It's easy for us to go biking 12 months out of the year, which is fantastic. It tries to keep me young and fit.
Yeah, I love that. And as the seasons of Colorado, that's what we've really been working on through the Master Facilitators community. So I'm so excited what we have in store. But to get us, go back to the beginning, what is your story to led you to reshaping concrete foundation construction across the Rocky Mountain region?
The story started 20 years ago. It just took a long time to come to fruition. And I'm not going to say I've been working on this for 20 years, but throughout my different roles for different large developers and different general contractors, I realized firsthand that things are changing, and specifically, why are they changing in different regions and they're not changing here in Colorado? And my experience here has been fantastic. Got to work with some incredible companies, Denver Design Build, and then that turned into Doan Construction, and then most recently Graystar, where I was the head of pre-construction for Colorado and some of the surrounding states. Just gave me incredible access to what the leading trends are in construction, and then additionally, what hurdles we continue to face. Specifically my time at Graystar, where we had access to all of our national pre-construction developers and directors, and understanding why things work in different regions that may or may not work in Colorado. And it led me back to solutions that we were doing in Pennsylvania over 20 years ago, where really cut my teeth working in a union workforce throughout Philadelphia, a little bit of time up in Manhattan. And the solutions that were put in place then were all to reduce on-site labor, not because of a labor shortage, but just because of union labor. Pros and cons to union labor. Union labor really keeps the construction industry advanced with bringing up youth through the different skilled trades and ensuring that there's always a healthy workforce of skilled trades to be there to build our buildings. But frankly, they're expensive. Like when I was in Manhattan, it was every change order was $1,000 per guy per day. And that was 20 years ago. So imagine what that is today. So we were doing a lot of offsite fabrications. I was working for the Philadelphia Housing Authority. We were doing modular units. We were doing SIP panel units. When I was working for a private developer, we were doing a lot of steel and precast concrete. We were doing precast concrete planks. We were doing precast structures. We were doing precast basements. That was a big thing. So after spending a fair amount of time, about 10 years in the Colorado construction industry, and also being up into the mountains, really want to figure out how do we fill that missing piece of offsite construction, because I'm watching all these fantastic companies really grow and fill into the space and changing, you know, what that HUD code home single wide, double wide trailer looks like and what is true modular construction and volumetric construction. There's so many great companies that are really changing what we are doing and changing the stigma behind modular and offsite construction. I hate to say it, nobody's doing anything to advance the construction process in the beginning, which I would call earthwork and foundations. There's a lot of cool companies out there making a lot of cool boxes, but nobody's doing anything to advance what those boxes sit on. So that's the opportunity I saw, and I really leaned back on my experience working in union labor conditions back in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia and what we did there to really escalate the construction schedule.
Well, great tee up of learn by doing, right? Really, that's the culmination of taking different markets. And on the pre-interviews, you and I had talked at length about the variables, right? And how you've been, you're building in several different markets and then coming to put your boots on the ground and your stake in the mountains, the variables that you've learned becoming a Art of Construction Master Facilitator. And it's an honor to have you here to talk through what you've learned through labor with unions and weather variables and demands and, at the end of the day, pricing, right? So why do you think it's from those perspectives? Can you just kind of circle back a little bit more on, you talked about in the pre-interview, like where Minneapolis, sure, or other places, it's like a lot more standard of getting it to come to Colorado, which I'm one of your biggest fans, excited to see this come to fruition, but let's hit it head on. It's just not being done that way in Colorado. Why is that?
It's regional acceptance and the old philosophy of, if it's not broken, why fix it? I think we all really need to realize that it is broken, or it will become even more broken, if that's a proper phrase, as time goes by with lack of skilled labor and just uncontrollable weather patterns. So a really good example is, one of my previous positions was involved in construction projects, or had the insight on construction projects all over the nation. And we were doing some large distribution centers, and we were looking to do them here out by the Aurora and airport area. So we had a pre-construction director locally here. That was me, a pre-construction director that was based out of Minneapolis and Minnesota specifically, and then one that was based down out of Houston. And they were building distribution centers in Houston. They were building them outside of Minneapolis, and then we wanted to build them here. So we're talking about, all right, lesson learned for our specific company. What do we need to incorporate into the design documents? How do we make sure that we learn from the projects outside of Minneapolis and outside of Houston to make sure that we can execute successfully here in Colorado? It turned into a multi-week debate between doing traditional tilt-up, which I would describe as a cast-in-place method, that then the walls are cured and tilt-up at the job site, to a full precast solution, where it's precast off-site, delivered to the site, and then erected as a kit of parts, very similar to steel construction. Houston, obviously, they have nice weather. They have lots of affordable labor. They're doing everything traditional cast-in-place tilt-up construction for all their industrial sector. Minneapolis, Minnesota, horrible weather and not a lot of labor, not a lot of skilled labor, not a lot of skilled labor that wants to work outside all winter long trying to cast concrete. So in their market, it is more affordable to do any type of precast, a precast off-site and then assemble on-site. Because that's what the market's been doing. The market adapted to, we have bad weather and we don't have a lot of great labor. So precast companies started to open up. There was lots of competition. There's fantastic skill set of labor to be able to efficiently and more affordably than traditional cast in place provide these large precast tilt-up assemblies for any type of industrial sector. Houston, as mentioned, the exact opposite, right? So I'm stuck in the middle. The guys on the Minnesota team are telling me to do something. The guys on the Texas team are telling me to do something else. We priced it all out. Because this was out by the airport and there's a lot of big industrial projects out there, it did make sense for us to go with a traditional cast in place. So the precast tilt-up didn't work there. But it really opened up my eyes to say, there's different ways to do this and different regions do it for a certain reason. Now, Aurora is a whole lot different than the high alpine market, which is our sandbox that we play in. So think about the I-70 corridor, think about 285, all the high alpine mountain construction projects, they should go steel or precast. In my personal opinion, bias maybe because we own a precast concrete company, but we have the same issues that somebody like Minnesota or Minneapolis or Iowa does. Lack of skilled labor, unpredictable weather conditions. And just generally speaking, even if it's sunny outside, it can still be cold and you can't pour concrete. Very nice and sunny out today. It was about 26 degrees when I got in my truck. Right? That's not a great start to pouring concrete in the morning. So I'm learning from those lessons.
Well, that's such a great example, right, of the term you hear, all markets are local, right? Yep. And unpacking to say, you know, you and I are passionate about system-built construction in Colorado, but people listening to this global megaphone all over the world is to take those local markets that you just explained to say, kudos for you for jumping in the middle of a great company like Graystar that has a ton of lessons learned, but the example of all markets are local and what are the variables for that specific project. But what you and I have been talking a lot about is like, how do we bring the different silos together of what are the critical items to setting up a project for success and focusing for you and I around trying to move blending on-site and off-site construction at different projects, like my Passion Retreat Center in Colorado, that is kind of another one that's kind of stuck in the middle, right? It's like it keeps getting better weather and also, labor keeps getting harder, yep. Right? And so, like, what decisions do you make that you have to map out how to do that? Brent, I'm curious, can you talk through, from your point of view, what are the critical parts for setting up a project for success along the lines that we've been teeing this thing up for our conversation?
Absolutely. I mean, being in pre-construction for the majority of my career, I'll try to take some credit there and say, you got to set the table for success, and then the execution should put itself together. But with that being said, I think there's three main critical paths to ensuring that a project is successful, or at least successful from the beginning. First and foremost is entitlements and permits. Right? That goes a really far way. You know, people think they're going to start construction on a certain date. If they don't get the proper entitlements, they don't get the permits in time, that start date pushes. You may lose your preferred subcontractors or general contractors. You might need to reprice it. Whatever your carry costs are with the land, not starting on time is a huge detriment to any construction project. And most of that ties to entitlements and permitting. That's tough. If you have a really good pre-construction team, a really good development team, or a really good permit expediter, you can mostly advance that and be okay. The next step is, how quickly can you get out of the ground? Right? Extremely important. You need to show up. You need to do the earthwork. You need to get going vertical as fast as possible. In terms of critical path, that to me is one of the most important things. That's why we came up with fast foundations. If you can put a foundation in the ground in one day and keep on moving and de-risk the project from weather, from inspections, from labor shortages to material shortages, all the things that any foundation or concrete subcontractor will deal with, that is how we de-risk a project and really get the thing started off on the right foot. Foundations in a day, or for a large multifamily unit development, it can be foundations in weeks or foundations in months. We're looking at the opportunity to do 80 homes worth of foundations in 2 months, right? That puts that project off on the right foot incredibly quickly and well. The next step would be get the thing in and get it dry done, right? Get the construction project completely vertical, get it dried in, have your roofing on, have your windows in, have your doors in, and then it just opens up the floodgates for every other trade to come in. Then you start to get your MEPs, then you start to get your finished subs, then before you know it, you're going for inspections and certificate of occupancy. If you get stuck in the ground, or if you get stuck trying to get the building dried in, you will never recapture the costs that are associated with trying to speed up, and you will never recapture the time that is lost on that schedule. So as I mentioned, there's so many fantastic companies that are working on doing offsite fabrication to speed up the vertical component, you know, the DL Cohens, the Simple Homes, the Fading Wests, the Videras, Tiny Mods, everybody that focuses on that vertical structure. We're focused on the foundations and making sure you can get up out of the ground quick to then be able to go vertical and dried in.
I love it. Every company you reference there has been on the podcast. So there's tons of historical data that we've put out there, but now we're really focusing on the ecosystem around that, just like the state of Colorado, quite frankly, is, because those companies you mentioned were the original ones that got the money. And then it was this stuck of, how do we actually get the businesses, municipalities, and people around that to make this thing happen, which is, I think back of when I first got into this, of you talking about your lessons learned of, I was in distribution and it's a distribution center out of Delta, Colorado. And I got to go to 28 lumber yards and I went around and on the pre-interview, you were talking about like how you and I as digital immigrants that are now turning into the leaders of this, moving this evolution forward of really like bracketing how you ask for help and how you ask when you think you have something that should change, right? And one of my mentors at the Durango lumber yard, I was just really struggling with like all the building materials. And I said, Jim, what's the two things that will make or break a good construction project? And he sat there for a little bit. He looked at me and he goes, and this guy is just a total badass. Like, he was changing the whole Southwest Colorado market about how people were thinking at the time. This is in, this would have been 2003. And he said, Devin, the two things that will make or break a good construction project is the right foundation and the right windows and doors. And now I'm recording this in 2026 where Brent laughs and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I actually am getting what he meant by that. And he didn't just mean the cheapest windows and doors or the right type of concrete on the foundation. What he meant, I said, can you explain that a little bit more? And him and I really connected over the next kind of 4 years. And then unfortunately, he had a health issue and passed away way too early with a heart attack. And he said, well, what that really means is managing the time and money on a project. And he goes, if you don't get the project going in the right direction, it just fights you the whole way. And he said, the right windows and doors are what gets the house dried in. So it's like the roof and the windows and doors of like moving the project forward. And so now, let's call it 25 years later, whatever time, some days can be long and the years are short in this industry, of now I'm sitting here at 46 saying, okay, you got to get those right elements just in time. And that's what we're all trying to figure out of the modular projects I've been involved in. And when we say modular, it's a marketing crisis. And I've done many podcasts with people about this. That's why we call it system-built construction. And it's aligning different parts to the whole. And so if you're going to go full volumetric boxes that are huge boxes that you don't just easily move around, the foundation has to be spot on.
Yep.
But you can't move the boxes and wait 2 weeks and weather move this. This all has to come together as a kit of parts if you're actually going to make this work. And it's, you know, the longer you play this great game of system-built construction, you think it's about being cheaper. And what it really means is the time part of the cheaping part, being cheaper. And changing the status quo of, like, when do you have to make the deposit to these great factories that you represented that they struggle with because they have to buy all the stuff up front, and then it's back to cash flow. That's the key of getting the three things of this dialed in, which is the businesses, the people, and the municipalities. And that's why you talked about the permits and the entitlements. You got to start way early on all this stuff. And then if you do all that right, then the time can come when it comes to the quote unquote construction to perm loan of who's going to put, say, I'm going to do it this different way, right? And so that's what I think we're really in this spot of managing. I'm sure you're just like me when back at the beginning when I talk about Mike Kirshner and his whole golf group, it was always, we're all so sick of projects not penciling if they would just listen how to do it this different way. Well, we've had to learn how to be better listeners ourselves to ask better questions and build better processes. So with that being said, I'm super excited that I hope everybody can appreciate Brent's not just trying to do a pitch of like buy this shiny object. It's truly finding a problem in Colorado. If we're going to move to system-built construction, we got to get these digital assets and these physical assets to come together and truly match up and label things together. And so beginning with the end in mind, talk through what you mean when you talk about the Peaks precast advantage.
Absolutely. So I want to address some of the things that you mentioned. So you touched on how precise any type of system built component is. And that could be a full volumetric mod. It could be offsite panelized framing. It could be metal stud framing. I have a lot of experience doing that in terms of an offsite fabricated wall panel that arrives to the job site. We've all been there. If the foundation is out of square, if it's out of elevation, you're calling the engineer, you're getting an ASI for some type of fix, you're bolting on a steel lintel, you're trying to make that foundation fit because you cannot modify your system built. And that could be as simple as, you know, trusses or wall panels or the really nice, you know, expensive mods. You're not going to modify those things in the field. So from our standpoint, and I want to keep everything sort of high level and just conceptual, but I can tell you at our facility in Buena Vista, We have a 8,000 square foot floor plate just for our factory floor. We have a 1,400 square foot steel casting bed. We have a 10-ton gantry crane that goes over it. And we invested heavily into a magnetic shutter formwork system. So what that means is we have very flexible formwork that we can move very fast, but then we are extremely precise. And inside of our facility that we can do up to 500 linear feet of foundations per week, we guarantee dimensional accuracy. We just did a project the other week. It was a very simple 30 by 30 foot structure. We were about 1/4 out of elevation and we were 3/8 out of square. And I asked the guy, do you want me to fix it? He's like, no, this is the best thing I've ever seen, to actually have a full foundation that from the lowest point to the highest point is only 1/4 inch. But we could have fixed it too, because everything is all different components. So from the Peaks Precast Advantage is specifically our product called Fast Foundations, which is a proprietary product to us. It's our design, our engineering, our custom formwork to be able to build these. And essentially, we guarantee dimensional accuracy through our offsite manufacturing. I mean it when it's foundations in a day. The project I just referenced, it was set, inspected, and backfilled. And that's a fully damp-proofed and insulated system within 6 hours. That would normally take about 12 days. We did it in 6 hours.
And let's unpack that a little bit, because as you figure out, okay, oh, I could guess the logistics of getting the offsite stuff to the onsite is this timing of logistics, right? And so the evolution of all this stuff, it's like, well, let's just pour a slab so it can just dump it off the truck. But talk through, and if you do it onsite, well, that's a slab is really hard to get all the MEPs and everything right. And when things crack and problems, right? So you have to have these proper get out of jail free solutions. That's why we all want a crawl space, but then it's the pouring of forms and walls and all those different things, right? So the aha moment, my father-in-law was been one of my mentors when I was telling him about how excited we are to have this at Turkey Toe. He's like, wait, like it all just comes in one day? And like to actually like stop and think about that. I'm like, yeah. He's like, so it's like all one thing. So like unpack that a little bit. It's for you and I, it's like obvious, but it's like, oh, like you can really have your cake and eat it with the proper foundation matched up with the fast pace of having everything connect properly. And then we'll unpack getting the right subcontractors to come and pull all this together, which is another challenge of who really wants to move their business forward with us.
So I'll get into the weeds real quick and just a very brief explanation of our product and specifically Fast Foundations, because Peaks Precast does have some other products as well. And we are working towards a slab system. Generally speaking, I'm not a fan of slabs. To your point, you know, nobody takes into consideration how long the plumber needs to be there to do all the rough-ins. Nobody takes into consideration how perfect all the rough-ins need to be to make sure that different stacks land inside where the frame wall is supposed to be. Crawl spaces provide a lot of flexibility, not only during construction, but after construction. You ever try to renovate a...
Wait, people want to change stuff after?
No. You ever try to renovate a house?
It's ridiculous when you hear about this stuff, like when you learn, like once you have a house with a slab, you're like, I never want that again. But then we just keep doing it because it's faster and cheaper, but it's not really.
So crawl spaces to me make the most sense, and specifically within Colorado. So there's other precast concrete companies out there that do basement systems. They're great. That's where my experience was installing them in Pennsylvania. Our focus is to do crawl space and slab on grade that ties into our crawl space, because that's where I believe the attainable housing is. That's the direction that it's going. There's no attainable housing developments that have these massive basements, right? So that's the space we want to be in. So first and foremost, our missions are aligned to do production housing and attainable housing. So the solution there for any type of foundation is a simplified crawl space. And it's a crawl space that can get a wood frame diaphragm on top. It can get a modular unit on top, or it can have a slab on top, you know, for garages and things like that. So we have a crawl space. Our components are anywhere from 40 to 72 inches in total height and anywhere from 8 feet to 16 feet in length. The strip footer and the stem wall are a monolithic cast. So your strip footer is attached. You have your wall in those different heights that I mentioned. They're pre-damp proofed with a concrete additive that we use, which we also use a 6,000 PSI SCC self-consolidating mix. So right off the bat, our concrete mix and our product is more robust and stronger than anything you could do in the field.
And it's done inside, yes. Right? So you're managing all the stuff to where it's uniform versus this whole evolution of like just whatever concrete shows up in the batch of the day and rushing to get it out there. It's just, it's obvious you're not going to have the uniformity that you really want.
Correct.
Right?
So everything we do goes back to the dimensional accuracy and having the uniformity. And let's say you're looking at a simple mod, which is a 16 by 48 or 16 by 52 long. We would send out a bunch of 12-foot pieces. We have our integrated 90-degree corner inside of our pieces as well. We can go up to 16 feet, so it'd be one piece in the front and back, and then about three to four pieces down the side. So let's just say it's 8 pieces of foundations that need to be installed. Additionally, with our ability to have some advanced engineering to incorporate voids into our concrete wall systems, we're reducing the total material by about 25 to 35%. So by reducing material 25 to 35%, we're then reducing the weight. Cherry on the top is cement is the main product of concrete. Cement has the...
It's cheap, right?
it's not cheap, and it has the worst carbon footprint out of any construction material. I mean, that's pretty evident. People are starting to realize that. Cement has the worst carbon footprint out of any construction material. Our system, we're able to reduce it by about 25 to 35%, just depending on the efficiency of that particular wall panel. So...
I love that. So you've hit, I want to make sure people hear it. So you've maximized your offsite of the sizing parameters to get the biggest boxes that are like the streamlined kit of parts that then you can take and build a house in a day truly with the foundation. And then the trades come in and you're tying that in to customize it to make it work, to make it your unique space, right?
Exactly. Yeah. In terms of working with the trades, we include UFERs. So basically just that rebar that they can attach into, and that's exposed out through our foundation system. We also include any type of sleeving for getting sanitaries in and out. Pretty easy for us. Again, offsite manufacturing is inside of our...
As long as everything's systemized, right?
Yeah.
Like all that stuff is great if you get good details of like where you want the electrical stub ends, where you want, where we're going to leach field. So the electricity and plumbing in and all that gray water and stuff coming out really has to be mapped and labeled. So you're blending the onsite and offsite. That's really that key thing of getting all the items coming together.
Yes.
Right?
Makes a big difference. Just having that, you don't have to send a guy out there with a big core drill and drill in anymore. Everything is damp proofed and insulated. So you're eliminating that trade. And essentially it's a kit of parts. And then we have a proprietary fastening system. It's all mechanically attached. So we have what we call the Peaks lock. It is incredibly simple. And I hate to say that just because I don't want to diminish what we're doing or the product that we're providing. And I don't want people to think that this is too simple and it's not a solid foundation, because realistically, we over-engineered the heck out of these things to make sure that there was a sense of comfort. And we have all the engineering documentation to go along with that. By the way, we do all our engineering in-house. We're fully licensed, insured. So it's great to have a turnkey system with us that we do the engineering from start to finish. We do the manufacturing. We can do the install. We prefer to have partners with installers because these are designed that the simple excavator that was digging the hole can then put it in as well. So one last group of subcontractors, one last piece of equipment. It just really simplifies the whole process. And it just goes down to KISS. Keep it simple. How simply can you connect these things?
That.
How much can you do offsite that you don't have to do in the field? Who's installing them? Are they already on site? Is that piece of equipment already on site? It just really expedites the construction schedule. And the beauty is we're the same cost, sometimes cheaper than traditional cast in place. And those stupid styrofoam blocks that you see blown all over the job site that you're patching together with, bunch of two-bys and sheets of plywood and all that stuff. We are the same price or cheaper, and we will take weeks off your construction schedule, and the excavator can make a couple extra bucks staying there for one more day installing our system versus being told to disappear and then come back in 2 weeks to backfill. So we're really expediting the schedule and streamlining it for everybody, not only the subcontractors, but then the builder and the developer as well. And lastly, having that manufacturer advancement of precision is everything. You know, you're going to, if you ask for a 40 foot by 40 foot foundation, you're going to get a 40 foot by 40 foot foundation guaranteed. And then two, you know, 20 foot by 40 foot boxes can sit on it perfectly.
I love it. Well, and there you have it, why you should use Peaks Precast over a cast-in-place foundation. That's so, you know, all good projects start with a good foundation, whether you're building anything. And this is how you actually do that, right? So, Brent, we're huge fans. We're super excited to be tying your amazing products into our vertically integrated platform of having as much fun as possible in and out of Turkey Toke Retreat Center, which is super cool to say, you know, from our global megaphone podcast, Kindling, you and I are just down the street from each other and all kinds of cool stuff that we're working on to get involved in the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community. But as we work to close this thing out, the questions I always ask to all the master facilitators listening around the globe, as this is for the builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
Sure. Great question, because that is obviously at the forefront of every conversation in every industry. What is technology doing? What is AI doing? How is it changing things? And as a manufacturer, we get asked that question, right? Like, how is AI changing what you're doing? And there's a lot of great solutions out there. And frankly, it allows individuals like myself and other team members to do more with less and to decrease our overall expenses and headcount so we can be more productive and provide a more cost neutral or a product at less cost than traditional cast in place. But what I think is most important with technology is that we touched on previously, how important it is to get system built components to all match and marry in together perfectly. You know, I was a part of a lot of really big projects and some mid rises and high rises where we invested heavily into BIM systems. Those systems were like $100,000 to do onto a high rise. I believe with advancements in AI and different systems out there, those systems are going to become a lot easier to utilize, less expensive, yeah. And we can start utilizing that type of advancement on taking four different offsite fabricated pieces, that system built approach, put them all together in this BIM collaboration and make sure that they all match up perfectly. It's never going to replace the human. It's not going to replace the architect or structural engineer, but it's going to allow them to do their job easier, which is ensuring that we don't have any conflict and all the different components of offsite fabrication marry in perfectly, which I think is a huge part of system built. If you're going to have two different systems, four different systems, they got to all marry in perfectly. And then the last thing I'll say is, we're working closely with CMC, Colorado Mountain College, and then we're working with a lot of different youth out there. I really believe that we need to have a advancement in our construction methods to attract the youth into the skilled trades. And without skilled trades, totally, we're going to be in rough shape in 20, 50, 100 years from now. You know, AI is not going to build homes. AI is not going to remodel homes. AI is not going to fix, you know, a broken hot water tank. If we're able to take technology and bring it into the skilled trades to really attract the youth, it will make a huge difference to our workforce. And that's what we need right now. All of our solutions are because we have lack of skilled trades. I'm going to keep going down that path, but I also want to challenge it and say, well, what could we do to increase our skilled trades? And that's with technology to make sure that, you know, the 18-year-old coming into the workforce doesn't have to swing a hammer outside for 4 years before they get a raise. It needs to be about providing them a attractive work environment and also a career path. I don't want to go on a tangent, but right now in Chaffee County, we have Peaks Precast, we have Fading West, we have True North, and we have Verotouch. So two 3D printers, one offsite manufacturer, and one offsite precast construction component. our network right now of individuals that are going through internship programs and what that's going to be for our local workforce is incredible. Chaffee County is going to be booming with the youth that wants to work in innovation and construction, because we're offering technology and we're not just telling them they need to go stand outside with a hammer. It's making a big difference. And that's where I think the technology is really going to lean into the construction industry. You know, robots aren't going to build houses, but we need to figure out a way to make this more attractive to the youth. And that's with technology.
So well said. And as I said at the beginning, as a digital immigrant, it's our job, Brent, as leaders, to reverse mentor to this digital natives to get them excited about this. And right now is that perfect time when you think about the kit of parts actually coming together and the reward of why we got involved in this industry in the first place and what we love about it, and it'll always be here for us, is seeing this video game turn into a reality. And seeing this stuff actually happen, and it's so cool when you get to see foundations are sexy again. They're not just this cobbled up mess, right? But it's marketing that to where what it really means is that you're creating a project that starts well and ends well. And that's the hard part about construction, right? And so as we close this thing out, we always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business, Brent?
Well, first, I'm going to steal that foundations is sexy again and make that into our marketing. I think everybody would appreciate that on a hat or a billboard. So thank you for that, Jem. Foundations are sexy again. You know, I'm going to go back to attracting youth and making sure that that next generation of skilled workforce is there for us. And that could be from a project manager to a superintendent to a foreman or to a skilled carpenter or to a mechanical tradesperson. That's what I think is the most important thing for long-term growth of any business. In a short term, we're feeling this. So you mentioned some of the state money that was given to those companies. We are lucky enough to get state money through the innovative housing. And then we also have some additional grant pursuits that are out there. So that's extremely important. Lean into the state. Colorado has been fantastic. We were lucky to have the executive director from Colorado's OEdit at our facility last week and do a full-blown tour. And then it's really assisting us with in our pursuit of getting state grants and state funding or low interest rate factory loans. So lean into it. Don't think that you can do this by yourself. And then additionally, a trusted network of advisors and business partners who are generous with their time and sharing their relationships is a huge help. You know, high tides rise all ships. And this is, you know, you kept bringing up Mike Kirshner from ILC. He's a perfect example of this. Him and I have got to spend so much time together over the last couple of years. And then his willingness to assist and then make introductions, like he introduced you and I, to then continue the relationships and the conversations that our companies can grow together is huge. So lean into the state, lean into the youth, lean into the network, and ask people for help. Like that was a big step for me, to ask somebody for help or to ask somebody for an introduction. That took me a long time to get comfortable with, and it's made a huge impact the past couple months.
Yeah, and I think about introductions. Kirshner and I got introduced through, he asked about the podcast, right? And so this is the kindling that I'm so excited for the threads that are coming in and out of these conversations to actually learn by doing together in the Master Facilitators community. So it's an honor to be connected with you, Brent, and thank you so much for sharing your story. And crush it out there, tribe. And if you're really thinking about system-built construction, it starts with the foundation and a digital build that truly comes together. That's what we're doing here. Subscribe, get involved, and be part of the movement of system-built construction. Crush it out there, tribe.